Hello, everyone. Welcome again to the Living Letter Ministries Radio Broadcast. Like always, God is good and He is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. The Lord has so many things to say to His people. He loves us so much. That's why He sends us godly preachers to help us go forward. All who have not made Jesus their Lord are in for a terrible surprise. They have made a bad deal. And a few broadcasts ago, I talked about how everybody that have not believed on Jesus Christ as to be their Lord and Savior, and have rejected the word, they're on death row. But the jail that they're in is wide open. All they got to do is walk out of it and believe on Jesus Christ, and their future will be saved. Their life will be saved. The healing process of salvation will begin to operate in their life according to their will. And I'm sorry that there is so much bad teaching, incomplete teaching. God is good. Everybody that tell you God is good all the time, God is good. They are telling the truth. They are witnessing of His goodness that they've experienced when they were once a skeptic. Now, according to Isaiah 11, everybody was a skeptic at one point in time. He said, we turned our faces as if Jesus was wrong. Everybody don't just get saved because they hear the gospel, but they hear it and their heart receives His word. Then they come to a point that they believe it, and the Holy Spirit helps us to do this. That's why God told His people, in the day that you hear, harden not your heart. If you harden your heart, you shear your heart from God's word, and you're still in danger. Like many people do. And my heart goes out to them because I was once the same way. I know what it's like to be on the outside. I found out what it's like to be on the inside. And Satan wants you dead. And he has hardened people's heart. Everybody that hardened their heart, he will use to his advantage as long as he possibly can. And anybody that lose the love of God, you know, in when you study Revelations chapter 2 and 3, Jesus addressed the seven churches in Asia Minor. And this was the early church. There were seven churches He addressed. And everything that he said in His discourse, His address to those seven churches can bless every part of your life. There's nothing Satan can do against you that what He said to those seven churches can't heal you. The theme was, keep your first love. And I want to explain that first love. The sincere, genuine love with the intent to do right. Keep sincerity towards God. The only way to have sincerity is your faith. You have to have faith. Your faith is your trust in God's word. You believe in God, taking Him and His word. You've received it, you believed it, and you're acting on it. And I'm talking about the goodness of God, the kindness of God. There's no reason to be evil. I say that so much, I know, but there's no reason to do somebody wrong, to retaliate. See, it looks like in the world, though we die, it looks like if somebody do you wrong, you should have the right to do them wrong. You know that, but this is the thing. Everybody you know is on death row if they didn't believe on Jesus Christ. Now Jesus told us to love like He loves. Do unto others as you will have them do unto you. Which means you need to love yourself and you need to love other people like you're supposed to love yourself. And once Jesus died, Peter wrote that we need to love others the way Jesus loves us. So that's more important than retaliating. against people. If they get saved, they'll never do you any more harm. If they truly believe on Jesus Christ as their Savior, they'll never do you wrong again. You'll have another partner in prayer. You'll have another person that's looking to God, looking to Jesus, looking to God through Jesus, being a blessing. You know, when a man gets saved, he don't just change. He change. Everybody he knows is affected by his choice to love God. That's why if he let his light shine, I'm not talking about going out preaching the gospel and witnessing and trying to get people. So I'm talking about if he just gets saved and live a godly life without compromise. If he'll do that, he will win souls. People will know that a change was made. And he'll be called the hot church. See, Jesus said he wish you were hot or cold. Cold means treacherous, disobedient to God. Hot means to love God, to live according to his word, being sincere. Now, this is why a lot of people take hot and cold the wrong way. They think hot church is the person that's going around telling everybody face to face about Jesus. But Jesus said, don't go door to door. Just live the light. Let your light shine. That's a gospel all by itself. Then, when it's appropriate, share your testimony. That's the second. The first witness is how you live your life. If you live and govern your life according to God's word, that's the hot church. That's what you're supposed to do. And when you give your testimony, it'll make sense. They'll say, okay, that's why he lives such a godly life. And it works. They'll see the wisdom in it. They'll see the purity of it. They'll see the sincerity of it because you love God. You'll show people, hey, it's good to love God. It works. And then as you grow from glory to glory and you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, a lot of good people that love God don't pay him enough attention. But those that do, the Lord will give them direction. And he'll put his hand on their life and guide you in the all truth. When you're about to marry the wrong person, the Lord will warn you. It's up to you at that point to change, to call it off. And then when a good decision, when there's a person that's fit for you, the Lord will reveal that to you. Then it's up to you to contend for that marriage and marry the person that God sanctioned for you. I'm just using marriage for an example, but understand that goes for everything. Where you work, where you go to church, who you marry. You have the guidance and intelligence of God by the Holy Spirit. When you believe things the wrong way, I taught in a few broadcasts ago how God, the Lord will compensate you. Wherever you lack, whatever you didn't get growing up, whatever's a problem, the healing process of salvation opens the door for the Lord to compensate you, help you heal. See, salvation is a healing process all by itself. And he will help you heal in life. This is important. Because God loves you. That's why he does such things. See, as you follow God, as you do it his way, you're going to learn things. Your life is going to be totally different. You're going to have interaction with God. And he can do it legally because he loves you, because you believe that Jesus' blood washed away your sin. You're in the kingdom of God now. He'll recognize as being in God's family. You're his son or daughter. And remember, God doesn't have grandchildren. When your children believe on Jesus, they'll become his son or daughter. Now, we love God, and he loves us. People that have not made Jesus Christ their Lord, they don't have knowledgeable interaction with the Lord unless the Lord do a miracle, which he can do. He can do miracles for sinners too. He protects their lives for the sake of others and because other people are praying for them. And sometimes he's going to save them. See, Jesus prayed not only for the disciples, but those that would hear him. So because one day you may come to a point that you hear him, he will
He will do miracles in your life to keep you alive. Because when Satan suspects that people will love God, he try to mess them up before they make the decision. He'll try to get them to kill somebody, marry the wrong person, put them in jail, anything to mar their life. Have a child with somebody that's brutal, to mar their life, anything. Give them bad advice, tell them to drop out of school, anything to mar their life. Because he detect that they have a sense, they have a heart that will one day hear what God has to say. Demons and evil spirits, fallen angels, they know a lot about us. They watched us. They're not perfect. They're nothing like God. They're more like just evil men. And they interfere with our lives through our thought life and the thoughts of others. And when you think wrong, you're going to do wrong. Or you won't do your best. A lot of people are discouraged and they don't work. Their worth ethic is low because they feel like they've been done wrong. So they don't want to contribute like they're supposed to. If they have good ideas, they don't share them. They have animosity against the boss or the company or the owners of the company or whatever. They're slow to forgive. If they feel offended, they drag their feet. They do just enough to get by. But when you have the life of God in you, you can forgive offenses and live and thrive. Not because you're sucking up to a boss, but you'll do right because of what's right. You'll do what's right for the sake of everybody. And most people don't think that way. Even most Christians don't think. A lot of Christians I know, when they get offended, that's it. They shut down. But people that are mature, they do these things. And the Lord can guide them. Jesus promised us that offenses were going to come. But when they come, how we handle it is very important. When people offend you, then they're in trouble with God. But that's why Jesus said, pray for those who despitefully use you so that they'll live another day to get saved. You know, you can remit sins or you can retain sins. If you retain them, then when you offend people, what's God, you know, you don't want God to retain your sins, and he don't. But if you retain the sins of others and won't forgive them, won't remit their sins, then when you need mercy, where's your mercy going to come from? Because God gives us mercy according to how we dish it out. If you don't give mercy, you will not receive mercy. And one day, something will happen, you're going to need God to just be merciful to you. Mercy is when he don't give you the judgment you do deserve. Grace is when he give you a gift that you can't earn and don't deserve. Salvation is a grace to us. But the anointing itself, the great things God do in our lives, and if he call you to the ministry, these things are, that's a grace. Salvation is a grace. We can't earn it, and we don't deserve it. If God call you to the ministry and anoint you, to do a test, you didn't deserve it. You can't earn it. Now, these broadcasts are on newlivingletters.com. Newlivingletters.com. Don't forget the website, newlivingletters.com. Everything is free. When you have sincere love for God, you can do what you normally could not do. Because you're following God now. You're on his team. You're in his family. You're in his kingdom. He recognized you through the blood of Jesus. And remember, you can do what Jesus did. All the things that Jesus did, you can do too. You just got to be willing. when we follow God and do His Word, then we can do the things of God. We can operate just like Him. Because He loves us. He cares about us in every way. No man can stand on his own and live. You're not going to heaven because you're good, because you're kind, because you take care of your family, because you help people that need you to, because you save people's lives. You may be a firefighter or a paramedic, and you keep people from dying. One good thing about it is you're sowing mercy, but salvation is something totally else entirely. You got to believe on Jesus Christ. And I don't want to see people that are kind and good and wonderful to be around to go to hell. That I don't want that to happen. But that's everybody that don't get saved. They're basically on death row. But once you do get saved, this is what you got to keep first and foremost. You got to stay in the love of God. See, we're righteous because of our faith. We believe in the blood of Jesus Christ, which legally healed us and saved us. He took our place and gave us His place. Did you get that? He took our place and gave us His place on the cross. Then He died and went to our punishment so we wouldn't have to. Then He rose again. Because He never sinned. Now, because of this, you can, when you believe it, it applies to you. And you pray for other people, and you live the life of God, and hopefully they'll get saved too. And then when you follow God and walk according to His Word, then you're gonna experience greater results in life. So it's very important to be sincere towards God and remain sincere towards God, because it's just too important. We need Him. We need to know Him. We need to do all that's in His heart, because God is for us and not against us. He's with us and not apart from us. And when you stay in the love of God, you're going to get to know Him. Now, that's where it gets interesting. Because when the opposition comes and you know the Lord, what can Satan do now? You won't recant. You won't go back to the world. You won't take the mark when they try to make you take the mark. No matter what you see, no matter who they kill, don't take the mark. There's going to be angels flying in the air telling people not to take the mark. Because these are people, they were out in left field. They never got saved, but they didn't know the things I'm telling you now. But the people that would never, the five foolish virgins, people that once got saved, but they didn't stay in the love of God, they went with the world. Now, when a person, you know, the high church is those who reverence God, who are sincere before the Lord. But the cold church is different. The lukewarm church and the cold church, they can be treacherous. They can betray God. They can betray man. A lukewarm person is like a person that has a reputation of being in love with God, and they're married, and then they cheat on their spouse. They can betray God. They do things, they can sympathize with what's wrong and do it, and pull it off. They're the kind that will, a lukewarm preacher will see an upcoming preacher, a younger preacher, do well, and then talk about him because he did too good. And he wants the glory. He wants people to recognize him. But a person on fire, they love God no matter what happens, no matter how well a younger person preach. They happy for that person. And they thank God, and they try to show them how things work, and teach them about the wiles of the enemy so that they can stay strong. That's what people on fire will do. They do what they're supposed to do. They rise above the wickedness of this world. They learn God's word. They hear him out. They learn what God is saying, and they do what God is saying. And they want to do what God is saying. And they help people when they can. They don't go around bragging, and they're not the loudest people in the world all the time. People are varied. And some people who are on fire for God, they are in the high church. They do what's right because it's right. They're not trying to make a name for themselves. They're not trying to make people look bad. They're trying to do what's right. That's it. They stay in the love of God. I applaud them. I love them. They do what they're supposed to do. But when you take the Lord and his word, you're taking your future seriously. You're protecting your future. You're putting yourself in heaven. You've taken yourself out of hell. You're not on death row when you believe on Jesus Christ. When a person's on death row, one thing they learn to hate the most is a clock. Because every time it ticks, that's closer to the day. One day that is coming up that they're going to inject them or electrocute them or shoot them, however they do it. Depends on where you are in the world. You can't get away. You're locked in a cage. You can't get out. And you feel threatened. You feel, you know, and death row is terrible. But when you're on death row and don't know it, and you can walk out of the cage, that's even worse. People party up to the moment they die. They do people wrong, and then they die. Now, when you die without Jesus, you're the same person. People who die, they don't try to get saved either. Their spirit is alive and alert. They look over and they see their body dead. And they've never been dead before, so they don't know what to expect. And then demons lead them to a place, and then once they get past the gates of hell, that's it. And some people, that time they die, the enemy come up and grab them and snatch them and take them down to the pit. It happens all kind of ways. But it's real. You don't want to be on death row. Now, on YouTube, there are so many people having experience. God is letting people share their testimonies. People that have died, saw the other side, and then they come back. They went to hell, or they went to heaven, and they come back and share their testimony. Some people died and went to heaven, and the Lord said, it's not time for you yet. You're going back. And then the doctor finished the operation, and then they come back to their body and tell their story. And some people wake up on the medical table screaming because they came back. They came back from hell. And they saw demons trying to get them. Now, what you see in hell is going to be terrible, I promise you. Some demons look like spiders and scorpions and snakes. But they're not animals, they are demons. And you know, when you see a spider catch a fly, you say, I'm glad I'm not in his situation. I'm glad I ain't no fly being ate by something that looked like that. But when people go to hell, I'm sorry. That's how it is. That's their life. It depends on what part of hell they go to. Don't go. You don't have to. Jesus paid for you to live forever. The enemy is out there. And the enemy has a plan against humanity to destroy it. But God has a plan for humanity, for people that love him, to bless their lives. Now, when you get saved, that don't mean that you can that you don't do anything anymore. That don't mean that you don't have fun. You need to go write the best songs. You Christian people need to write they need to be writing movies. They need to be doing movies. They let the worldly people do movies. And they write books, and then they do the actors act it out and make movies out of it. Christian people need to be in the forefront doing that, guided by the Holy Spirit. But they let the world do everything. They need to be writing the best songs, and they need to be making their own recording labels. And I'm not talking about cheesy music. I mean, it ought to be the best out there. Christian artists need to step it up. Christian writers need to step it up. They should have did it a long time ago. They let Hollywood just go crazy. They don't even need to deal with Hollywood. They need to do it themselves, wherever they are. They need to organize to show people what God is like. When you live a life that honors God, you know, your life ain't shut down. Christian people do. They work hard and go to church. But Christian people can do anything that's good. They can get together and they can have, you know, they can do anything good. They can make movies, they can sing songs, they can do plays, they can do anything good. You ain't gotta be boring. And when you do something for the Lord, don't make it boring. Make it fun. And some of the Hollywood movies, then all of them are not evil. But most of them leave God out. They don't honor Jesus at all. They're headed by people who don't believe on him in the first place. But they can make a decent movie that's fun to watch. And they make action movies. They make movies that make you think. But the church need to be doing God's people who love him, who are sincere, need to be doing that also. And you know what happened to Hollywood? They'll see better, and their movies will improve. And I've watched the evil movies don't do as good as the pure movies. Movies that's good, that's wholesome, that's family oriented, they do better. They always did, they always will. Because people want hope. They want to know that there's hope. That everything's not going to die and go to hell in a handbasket. People want hope. Even evil people want hope. They want to know that there's something that they can trust. But see, the enemy has camouflaged things so bad that people don't realize that God loves them. And the Holy Spirit will guide you. They don't know how good it can be. They've never been guided by the Holy Spirit. They've never been woke up to pray for others. They never know the comfort of God. They don't have his peace. And they don't know what it's like to obey his will and see what happens next. You know, sometimes when the Lord guides me to do things, I want to see what's going to happen when I do. That's godly curiosity. Godly curiosity. I want to see what's... God have always exceeded my expectations. That's why people say, God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. Because he exceeded their expectation. They didn't expect it to be so wonderful. You know, I got a wife. I love my wife. I thank God for it. Out of all the things that went wrong in my life, I married the right woman. And I thank God for her. She's not just my wife. She's my friend. And I like being around her. And I thank God for her. And I thank God for our daughter. And all my children. But nevertheless, God loves us.
for us. He's not against us.
When you get saved and trust Jesus, you're not going to be bored. That's the first lie the devil told me when I was about to get saved. If you get saved, you're going to be bored. I haven't been bored since that day. And I have been bored before, but not since I made Jesus my Lord and King and Savior. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in and throughout your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus Christ is our Lord.